everybody. I'm an addict. My name is George. This is extremely intimidating. He's being nice because he's my husband. So, but I like standing on my toes. Thank you. What I was thinking about just now was when I finally did say help. My mother sent me to this rehab full of women. I didn't like that idea, but I did it anyway. And I remember we went to this meeting every single Sunday. And every single Sunday, everybody who had less than 30 days had to raise their hand and say, "Hi, I'm an addict. My name is George. I'm from Washington, D.C." I did that, you know, several weeks in a row. And we went on. This meeting was a huge meeting. It was in an auditorium with a stage, with a podium, and a microphone, the whole nine yards. And these people with, I don't know, what I thought was 100 years of recovery, you know, probably 1 or 2 years, but it seemed like a lot to me with 30 days. We're getting up on stage, and they were sharing their stories and telling me about recovery. And this was like an hour and a half meeting. And the last half hour of the meeting, they always opened the microphone to anybody else who wanted to share. And, of course, just like a lot of meetings I go to, nobody wanted to share. And I remember the chair of the meeting kind of looking at me and said, "How about the woman out there from Washington, D.C.? And I'm like, "Nuh-uh." You know, no, that's okay. I mean, I was absolutely terrified of my own shadow, let alone trying to do all that. And he looked at me, and he was really kind. And he looked at me and says, "I don't know if you've heard yet." He knew I was in a rehab because I was with all the other little girls in the rehab. And he looked at me, and very gently he said, "I don't know if you've heard this yet, but it's suggested that if you want what we have, you might try to do what we do." And I remember sitting in that chair going, "I'm fucked." And I mustered every bit of courage that I could, and I walked all the way down that aisle and up the stairs and across the stage and behind. And I remember looking down, there were papers like there are now sitting down here. I didn't know what the hell they were, and the letters were jumping up at me. I was so scared. And I remember looking down, finally the letters calmed down. I figured out later it was the readings, but I didn't know that then. And I remember looking out at this crowd, and I have no idea what I shared. I know I shared the fact that I was grateful. And I really don't know what else I shared. And I remember saying, "Thanks for letting me share." And I walked all the way down those stairs and back to my chair, and the woman I had become friends with in the rehab, I was shaking like a leaf. She put her arm around me. She says, "Man, that adrenaline kick's a rush, ain't it?" I'm like, "Oh, is that what this is? I don't know." I'm just terrified. But that was like the first time that it clicked that maybe y'all knew something. You know, for the longest time, I didn't think I had the answer to anything, but I certainly didn't think you knew anything either. And I finally started figuring out that, maybe there's something to this. And I was one of those addicts that when I hit my bottom, which took me, I was probably in my bottom for years, just didn't know it. But when I finally said, "Help," and got into that rehab, I was ready and willing. Well, not quite. I popped Valium as I walked into rehab. But that was my last one, and I remember I did a lot of listening, and I was hearing words like open-mindedness, willingness, all this stuff that frankly meant nothing to me, but I was listening. I was doing a whole lot of listening, something I had not done very much of. You know, I kind of did. I don't know, if you're an addict like me, you did whatever you wanted, whenever you wanted, however you wanted it, whenever you felt like it. And they told me to sit still and listen, and that was the best thing I ever did, was sit still and listen. And that fear that kept me from sharing helped me to sit there and listen. that was a change for me. And like I said, they told me to, you know, I heard that, do what we do. So I was like, "All right, what are y'all doing?" Fortunately for me, when I got out of that rehab and came back to the area I got clean in, Vincent was there. But there were a lot of people that I already knew that had found the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. I was a bartender for a lot of years. I've gotten a lot of dope fiend drunk at various points in my life. And a lot of them had found the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous before I did. So I walked into these rooms, and there were all kinds of people I knew. There's one out there. And I was looking. I was like, "Okay, what are y'all doing?" Because the reality was I was seeing these people that I knew really well. They were part of my story. I was part of their story. They had disappeared. Some of them I thought had died. One of them I heard found God. That wasn't real of interest to me at the time. couple other things. But here they were in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And the thing that struck me more than anything else, besides the fact that they were clean, was that they liked it. And I so wanted to like it. This brings up feelings for me, because I was miserable and burnt and tired. And I can remember them asking what I wanted out of rehab. And I'm like, I just want to be happy. I don't know really what that meant, but I just wanted to be happy. And these suckers were smiling. And I'm like, all right, what are they doing? I want to know what they're doing. And they were doing all those things that if you've been to more than one meeting, you've heard it. You know, they said, get a sponsor. And I'm like, you mean somebody's going to tell me what to do? And they said, no, find somebody that's smiling, that's got what you want. I didn't do that. My first sponsor wasn't like that. I walked into a meeting where I expected to know absolutely no one. And I hear my name from across the room. I'm like, oh, crap. And I was a stripper at one point. There's this woman, she's got like 5 years clean, and she was one of the few women in my life that I had actually liked. And I said, what's this sponsorship shit? And exactly those words. And she said, don't worry, I'm it. Okay, one down. That worked for me for a long time until I wanted to work steps and I had to find another sponsor. But somebody out there is laughing because they know her. But they did that. And the reality was, I was like, okay, you got sponsors? Well, I don't want to do this if you ain't really doing it. And the reality is, I met their sponsors, so I knew it was true. And they told me to go to meetings every night. There was none of this 90 and 90 or till I say so. There was just go to a meeting every night. You used every night, you go to a meeting every night. That's what I did. And I can honestly tell you that I went to a meeting probably every single night for 5 years. And there's some people in this room that I was in meetings with. And those people that were telling me to do the meetings, I was like, oh, you? Okay, they're at the meeting. They better be doing the same thing they're telling me to do. And the reality is they were. And one of the things that helped me with that, too, is I was, like I said, I was really, 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 really scared. I didn't really talk to anybody unless I already knew you, or if it was over in the corner when nobody else was listening, I might be able to do like a one-on-one thing. The idea of sharing a meeting wasn't happening for me. So I didn't share for a very long time, but then y'all decided that one of the things that I needed to do was to chair a meeting. And I was like, oh, crap, now I got to talk. And I remember writing down everything. A lot of meetings I go to now, I have it all written down. Back then, they didn't do that. So I wrote it down, and I wrote at the very top of it that I'm an addict named George, because I was so sure I was going to forget to say that, and I would have been mortified. So I had to write that down. I wrote it all down. But it was really kind of a cool little meeting. It was a candlelight meeting. See, y'all couldn't see me. And I was deep purple and shaking, but you couldn't see me. So I was like, okay, see, I can do this. And I didn't think I could do it, but y'all helped me with that. And I was like, because I knew so many people already, it wasn't hard for me to get some speakers. I mean, I got instructions as to how to pick NA speakers. I learned that. And fortunately, like I said, there were people that I already knew that had some recovery in Narcotics Anonymous and were sharing their experience strengths. So I was like, okay, let's see, Mariah, Jerry, you know, all these people I already knew, you're on my list. And one of the cool things, here's 20 years later, and I can tell you, I found recently, I was cleaning something in my office, and I found this notebook that I kept a chart of everybody I asked to speak at that meeting that year. And I can tell you, because I counted them, 2/3 of those people are still clean today. It's 20 years later. It's like, damn, I must have done something right, you know? And it's really kind of cool, because those people, there's some of them still in this room. And it's what has kept me coming back. You know, and y'all tell me I had to pray, and I was like, what? No. Okay. Let me do it, just in case. I don't want to piss anybody off. And so I did it. It was kind of real, real simple. You know, a little bit of serenity prayer, a little bit of third-step prayer, and very simple. And I found that it worked. So I think I'll keep doing this. You know? And then they told me I had to work on some steps. And I was like, all right. That was before the workbook came out, and they had some other ideas. Someone had other ideas as to how to do it. And I started working some steps and finding out a little bit about me. And some of that fear started to go away. Some of that insecurity that I still have, I was able to walk through. I remember the first time I got asked to share in a meeting, it was hysterically funny to me. Not to anybody else, but to me. In hindsight, I should say. But I remember I walked into this meeting, and the chair of the meeting was somebody that I had used with. And it was a regular meeting of mine. And I walked in the meeting, as usual, expecting somebody else to share. And he says, "Guess who's leading the meeting?" So I've never even shared in a meeting, let alone led a meeting. Are you out of your mind? And, of course, the fear just descended on me like I can't even describe. Give me a line, give me a shot of whiskey, I'll talk. But the idea of, oh, my God, no. And I remember I went to the bathroom, and I literally got on my knees, and I prayed about it. And I came back out, and this woman I got clean with, Jane, she says, "What the hell is wrong with you? I got to leave this meeting." She says, "Go in the bathroom and pray." I said, "I did." She says, "Do it again." And I can tell you I did. And I came back out, and there was this other guy there. He says, "What is wrong?" I mean, you could have clearly written all over my face. He says, I said, "I got to leave this meeting." He says, "Go in the bathroom and pray." I said, "All right, did twice." He says, "Well, I guess you better do it again." And you know what? I did. And I came back out. By that time, they'd already started the reading, so there was nobody there to ask me the question. And I remember sharing, and I told my story. I remember there was a guy there that I had used with, and I remember focusing on his belly. Because I couldn't look at your faces. That would have been too terrifying. But I focused on his belly. And I told my story. And I guess I must have talked about some fear, too, because one of the women there, when I was finished, she says, "Man, you did a great job." I said, "Yeah, but you're so focused." And I'm like, "Little do you know." But it was all of these things are so out of the realm of my being. One of my sponsors has said to me more often than I can imagine, "Stretch your comfort zone." I'm like, "I don't want to." She says, "Do it anyway." And doing this is totally alien to the person that I was that walked into Narcotics Anonymous. That petrified little girl is still petrified, but can walk through the shit. It's okay. I know I can do this today. And it has only been because of the support and the we of this program that I have come to understand that has helped me to do that. I can't do this shit by myself. And I see so many, I like Vincent, I'm very much involved with H&I. H&I is my passion. I love H&I. And I go to Clarksburg, which is their county jail every year, Montgomery County. I mean, I go up there every week. And every week I go in, and they think I'm coming there for them. And I am so there for me. And I got cleared to take meetings in there a long time ago, and for the longest time I wouldn't go by myself. That was scary to me. I ain't going by myself. And I was cleared for a long time. I finally said, "You know what? I need to go. I need to go more often." So I made a date with one of the women that was taking the meeting up there at the time. I said, "If I go with you, I can get in there. I can handle this." And I did that for a number of weeks, maybe even a couple of months. And she's notoriously late. And I'm notoriously not, although Bob might argue with that. But I remember getting there, and she wasn't there, and the meeting was supposed to start, and she wasn't there, and it pissed me off. And that adrenaline kicked in, and I just went on up there and through all the little places you have to go through, and I got up there, and I shared this with the women in the jail, and they just thought that was hysterically funny. But once I got past that, I was able to do it again, and here I've been doing it alone for months now. I freaking love it. It gives me more gratitude than I can possibly have given to anybody else. And one of the things recently that was really very cool, I got this phone call from the coordinator of that jail, and she wanted to know if I was coming to this volunteer appreciation night. And I go every year, and I'm like, "Well, when is it?" It was this past Thursday. And I said, "I'm going to be in Ocean City for our regional convention. I can't." And she hemmed and she hawed, and she said, "Oh, well, then I guess I just need to tell you, you've won an award." And I'm like, "What? And volunteer of the year? How cool is that?" Me, who didn't do shit for nobody when I got, you know. Actually, the piece that I like and the piece that I really want to share with you guys is this is the third year in a row that Narcotics Anonymous has won this award at that jail. Yay. It is really, that's the piece that gets me. It's like there are so many other volunteers that go in there, but NA is the one. I have learned, and these other two women have learned how to follow through in a commitment. Did you all know how to do that when you was using? I didn't. Yeah, I'll be there. Maybe. You know, I can do that today. And one of the things that was really nice in the letter that was written about from one of the inmates about me was, I got compared to the Postal Service. Rain or shine, snow or sleet, she shows up with a smile. The thing that they don't get is that the smile is because when I turn that corner and I see them, they smile. And I know I'm right where I need to be. These are the kinds of things that you couldn't have paid me to do before. You know, I had much too much more important things to do, like your stash. You know? Why would I want to do something for you? What you got for me? You know? That's not my life today. And it was earlier, I was working at registration earlier. One of my weaknesses too is service in Narcotics Anonymous, is this convention, and I've been known to do a lot of that. And they were trying to get rid of me from registration. They said, you can go. I said, oh, you don't need me? Well, no, we could use you, but you can go if you want to. I'm like, I'm safe back here. I'm comfortable. I'll just do this. And they're like, I think you better go do something else. But that's one of the things that you guys have done for me over and over and over again, was when I was tasked to do something, no matter how afraid I was, there was always somebody there to say, you can do it. One of the first experiences I had with that, I was a member of the literature committee for Montgomery area, sort of. It was kind of a long story. Long story short, my friend was the literature chair, and he asked for help. My friend. Next thing I knew, I was the treasurer for that committee. Taking like $1,000 home and counting up the freaking money and putting it in somebody else's account. Very strange things. But I did that for a year, and I was telling somebody else earlier. Once again, it was a commitment with a table in between me and you. So it was okay. I liked that. But that was outside of the actual area of service. By the end of that year, I wanted to know what was going on in the other room. And I made the mistake of walking in there on nomination day, and I got nominated as vice chair of the area. And I was like, I don't know nothing. She said, perfect. Which really it is. You know, it's a learning position, and you're not supposed to have an opinion, so that was me. But I remember talking to my sponsor about it, and I said, I can't do that. She said, sure you can. I said, well, what happens if I fall on my face? She says, that's what I'm here. I'll help sweep up the pieces. And I'm like, but, she says, just do it. That was the line I heard, I don't know how many times, just do it. Do it anyway. Quit asking why, ask how. You know? Or the time that I went to my sponsor and I said, you know what, I don't even remember what it was. I got something going on that just, I was miserable and just whining and crying about something. And she said, go find somebody and help them. I was like, what? Did you not just hear me? This is my, you know, I got all this going on. And she said, go find somebody and help them. Damn it, it worked. You know, it took me out of me and I was able to help somebody else and come to that realization. And there's people in my network who get to hear that all the time. I said, just go find somebody to help me. You know, there's little pieces of, I like to call them little pearls of wisdom that get thrown out at meetings. I go, you know what, I'm going to put this one in my pocket. I'm going to hold on to this. Sometimes I don't get what that information is really all about. Like, I really did not understand why I was supposed to go help somebody else. But you know what, let me see what happens if I do it. If I do what somebody else suggested, holy shit, you know what? Every single time I have done it, it has worked. You know, get with the women. I don't want to. They don't like me. I don't like them. Do it anyway. And today I have women in my life I wouldn't trade for nothing. Nothing, you know. But I didn't know how much more alike we were than different, you know. Because I thought, you know, I had my own little world going on. I think a lot of us did. But I don't know that I really have a whole lot to say more than that. I'm just really grateful that somewhere in here or here, wherever it was, I found that little bit of open-mindedness. I found that little bit of willingness. And I listened. You know? And one of the my favorite things, it gives me goosebumps every single time, is Saturday night in the countdown here. It just is beyond my comprehension. And I remember the first convention that I came to. It was CPR San Jose 5. And I came with this guy I used to use with. He said, if you get your ass there, I'll make sure you're covered. I went, okay. And I did, and he did. And like I said, I was one of these really scared little people. So the whole weekend I was like that. Sorry, wasn't him. But I was so scared. And the only time we were separated was in it when he was in the men's room or I was in the ladies' room. I was just terrified. And that back then, this convention center was half the size. You know, the main speaker room was only like 3,000. But I remember being just in awe of the fact that 3,000 some odd people could be in one room and they weren't using. Holy shit. I don't understand that, but I loved it. And I remember coming back the following year with the same people, and I remember sitting in that same room, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, man, you know, it doesn't seem like there's so many people. The room doesn't even seem as big as it was. And Big Steve patted me on, actually on the head, I think, and said, "You've grown, dear, you've grown." And I'll never forget that, because it meant a lot to me. You know, anybody said anything nice to me, it meant a lot to me. And I'm just really grateful that y'all did say, keep coming back. Please keep coming back. And you told me that over and over and over again, and that it would be all right. And you know what? It is. And like I said, I've learned to follow through on a few commitments. I never got married before I got clean. There was whatever. I didn't think anything was going to last very long at all. And I've not only found a guy. Had you described the guy I was going to marry, I wouldn't. Yeah, no, I don't think so. But you know, I like the bad boy that's getting into trouble, and I found a skydiver instead. But we've been married for 10 years. You know, that's pretty cool. And he still likes me, at least most of the time. But you know, things have changed. Things have changed, and Vincent was talking about animals and. I'm fond of telling the women in the jail it's the little things that make me happy, and it really is. I have two little kitties. I have a piglet and a tigger. And one of the highlights of my day are when I come home. They're allowed to go outside, and I will park the car. They know my car. They know his car, too. They come trotting down the sidewalk to meet us. That makes me feel good. Those are warm fuzzies that I missed when I was using. And I can use all the warm fuzzies I can get. So I think that's enough out of me. I thank you for letting me share. And, thanks for helping me stay clean another day. Yeah. Thanks.